Hello, and welcome to Tallahassee Tree Talks. I'm Daniel Siegel. In this podcast, I'm going to be talking to citizens of Tallahassee about knowledge, experiences, and stories that have to do with one of our city's most incredible characteristics. Trees play major roles in our lives, and we also play a major role in the lives of trees. Join me as I get to know more about people, trees, and their relationships in Tallahassee. This podcast is sponsored by a community engagement grant from the Sunshine State Biodiversity Group in Tallahassee, Florida, a nonprofit aimed at conservation, education, and community outreach on environmental issues facing the region. For more information, visit sunshinestatebiodiversitygroup.com. Welcome to Tallahassee Tree Talks. Before we get started, I want to offer a warning. I'm not an expert on trees. I'm a master's student studying English literature at Florida State. My academic connection to trees is mostly through the paper my books are printed on. When I was offered a grant to make a project about trees in this region, I was excited because I knew trees are awesome. But part of the reason this podcast exists is that I had a lot of questions that I didn't know how to answer. So I started doing some research. Why is a live oak called a live oak? That one was easy. They replace their leaves continuously, so they look alive through the whole year. Other questions were more complicated. Why are there deciduous trees and evergreens right next to palm trees here? What's up with that? What I didn't realize, and was happy to learn when moving to Tallahassee, was how much nature surrounds it. The Florida Panhandle is a biodiversity hotspot, home to many species of plants and animals, including a number of endemic species, species that only live here. Florida is the 7th most biodiverse state, top 5 when it comes to endemic species. It's also a tree hotspot. The United States county with the highest tree diversity and the highest number of endemic tree species is Liberty County, right next door to us here in Tallahassee. When I used to think of Florida, my brain went straight to beaches. But as of 2016, half of the land area of the state of Florida was forest land, 17.16 million acres, or about 27,000 square miles. A lot of the trees in these forests are harvested for commercial use. Two-thirds of these lands are privately owned. The state and federal governments each own about 16%, and the remaining 3% is owned by counties and municipalities. In this podcast, we'll talk about forests around Tallahassee, but mostly we're going to be talking about the urban forest of the city itself, which falls into that small 3% category. 3% is a number that came up a couple times in my research. In a sample inventory of Tallahassee's trees, about 3% were surveyed. Of the trees inventoried, approximately 4% were in good condition. 82% were in fair condition, a step down, and only 11% in poor condition. Only 3% were dead or dying, but more than half were growing too close to overhead utilities. Things are good, but not perfect. Part of the reason there are so many types of trees in North Florida is that here, the temperate zone meets the subtropical zone. We have forests like those north of us, plus those to the south, not to mention a decent number of trees that don't grow anywhere else, like longleaf pine and the Florida Torreya. Longleaf forests used to grow across about 60% of the landscape in a 2,000-mile area from Texas to Virginia, but they've been reduced to about 2% of this range, most of which is in the Panhandle. The critically endangered Florida Torreya has been reduced to only 200 surviving specimens sighted on the eastern bank of the Apalachicola River. North Florida has a little bit of everything when it comes to species of trees, and between wildlife refuges and state and national forests and parks, we have a lot of forested land. High tree density and high tree diversity. Lots of types of trees and lots of trees. Okay, so North Florida has some incredible and unique forests. Next question I asked myself, Why a podcast about trees in Tallahassee instead of the trees around it? Tallahassee's a city, not a forest, right? The natural history of this region makes it seem like the perfect place for trees. There's no way the human history can sustain that. Achille Murat, brother-in-law of Napoleon and owner of Lipona Plantation in Tallahassee, described the elegant houses made of boards and timberwork painted in all sorts of colors that would eventually become part of the city of Tallahassee. And where did that timber come from? Murat described that too. Trees are cut down on all sides, he said. Their burning stumps and roots indicate the spots destined for streets and public places. One of the earliest records of the city of Tallahassee is about chopping down a forest. Not the best start. Maybe cities and forests are incompatible. Well, not exactly. Tallahassee has a flourishing urban forest. A forest, in the simplest terms, is a place with a lot of trees. When compared to nearby Apalachicola National Forest and Terea State Park, Tallahassee's barren, but the city has a higher canopy coverage than most similarly sized cities in the country and most cities in the region, regardless of their size. We're currently sitting at about 55% urban tree cover. The national average for an urban environment is only about 27%. Tallahassee's canopy coverage was actually increasing from the 50s to the 80s as land went from agricultural use to residential. It peaked at 61% and has since settled back at 55%. At the same time, hard and impervious surface coverage increased from 9 to 17%. The balance has fluctuated over time, but most recently we've become more of a city and less of a forest. We're still very much defined by our trees, though. In a 2018 local survey, 59% of respondents emphasized the fact that trees make Tallahassee unique, adding beauty and charm. 41% mentioned that trees contribute to their quality of life. Trees are a significant part of people's lives in Tallahassee, and their priorities largely reflect this. 65% of respondents explained that they want to preserve and protect mature trees, especially when new development occurs. The city's special relationship to trees began in 1843, when a fire burned down almost all the wooden buildings from Pensacola to Park Avenue between Adams and Monroe. Because so many trees were lost, Tallahassee citizens became conscious of what they were missing, beginning to plant trees along the city's roads. The city council also declared that brick and stone must be used instead of wood downtown, a decision most likely made to reduce the risk of a future fire, but which also benefited trees. The council also passed ordinances protecting the newly planted trees from damage by wagons and horses. 17 years later, in 1860, the city council decided to plant 200 live oak trees along Tallahassee's streets, many of which still stand to this day. Tallahassee has a fascinating history of tree preservation, described in the book The Live Oak Trail by Caroline Phillips O'Brien. We'll dive deeper into some of that history when I speak to Ann Bidlingmeyer, a local tree advocate. The history of trees in Tallahassee is much longer than the history of the city itself. Long before Achille Murat and even the first Spanish settlers to reach this region, it was home to the Apalache people. Unfortunately, no members of the Apalache tribe were available to be interviewed in Tallahassee while I was recording this podcast. They, like so many other indigenous groups, no longer occupy their ancestral home. I did, though, get in contact with Councilman Gilmer Bennett of the Talamali Band of the Apalache Indians of Louisiana to ask about the tribe's relationship to trees in North Florida. I do not pretend to speak for the Apalache people, and I don't wish to misrepresent their beliefs in history, so I will relay Councilman Bennett's words verbatim. Thank you for reaching out to ask for our perspective on the relationship our tribe has with trees, nature, and the land our tribe has inhabited. Most Apalache citizens of our tribe understand what fruits, nuts, and seeds are beneficial or necessary to animals and our people. The Apalache have used trees for building our homes and our council house, and we still make white oak baskets in Louisiana, and did some basket-making demonstrations at Mission San Luis in the past. We have walked the banks of the Ocilla River looking for and locating what the local Floridian people refer to as basket oak. We recently traveled to Jefferson County, Florida, and Thomasville, Georgia, to talk to the county building inspector and locals in Jefferson County, Florida, about using naturally cured, rough-sawn lumber for construction. We explored Jefferson County extensively, and we did notice the lack of hardwood trees and the prevalence of pine trees. To substitute the lack of acorn trees, the landowners had planted GMO corn amongst the pine trees. We wondered about the effects of GMO corn on the local wildlife. Jefferson County is unique in the fact that there are a lot of plantations and hunting clubs with thousands of acres. We can only imagine walking under the canopy of our ancestral land before the arrival of the Europeans. Those trees are gone, and all you can find now are the stump remnants. We are one branch of what was once a great tribe, and we hope to root and grow this branch in Florida, in our ancestral land. I would like to extend a thanks to Councilman Bennett for sharing his and his tribe's perspective. Tallahassee has a long-standing culture of valuing trees, and although the fire of 1843 and the plantings in the mid to late 19th century are a distant memory, Tallahassee citizens still find trees to be an important part of the city. It's no wonder that Tallahassee has been a Tree City USA since 1993. The requirements for this designation? A municipality must maintain a tree department or board, spend at least $2 per capita on urban forestry, and celebrate Arbor Day. Tallahassee meets all of those requirements. In fact, we spend $5 per capita on urban forestry. Those $5 are totally worth it, too. For every dollar the city invests in its trees, the community receives $10 in benefits. So, how many trees do we actually have? There are an estimated 93,000 street trees in Tallahassee. These trees provide the city $15.4 million of benefits each year, and that's just the stuff that can be quantified. We've only been an official Tree City USA for about 3 decades, but all the way back in 1867, a prophetic article in the Tallahassee Sentinel writes that a forest city or oak city will Tallahassee soon become if all the trees that have recently been planted live and do well. This may seem a small matter to our citizens. It costs but little, and yet its influence in enhancing the comfort, beauty, and value of our city residences is incalculable. We've always been a city focused on trees, even before we were an official tree city. Having an urban forest around benefits the city and the people in it. All this information leads me back to one of my questions. Why talk about trees in Tallahassee instead of those outside of it? Well, like it or not, we live in an urban forest, and trees are our neighbors. There are systems in place to protect this urban forest. We have a set of tree protection laws requiring permits for the removal of any tree with a trunk diameter of 18 or more inches, trees in some specific locations, including canopy road zones and the lot perimeter zones of development sites, official trees, a category including longleaf pines and oak trees with 12-inch diameters and dogwood trees with 4-inch diameters, exceptional specimen trees, and trees required to meet replanting requirements. There are exceptions to these protection laws. Invasive exotic trees and diseased trees can be removed no matter their size. There are also exceptions for those running a nursery, practicing silviculture, the growing of trees, for those engaging in archaeological excavations, and of course for trees that pose a hazard. These laws are not always followed. Given that only 11% of Tallahassee's street trees have been inventoried, they're also hard to enforce. We're still building new developments, removing and sometimes harming trees. Trees get damaged in hurricanes and storms, and they occasionally fall on our houses and our cars. Relations with the neighbors can get tense. Our urban forest is healthy, but it could be healthier. The Urban Forest Master Plan studied 27 indicators of a sustainable urban forest, of which 22% were good, the highest level, and 67% moderate, the middle level. Only 11% of indicators were low, which is the lowest level. But enough numbers. Time for the question that worried me most, and the one that came to define this podcast. How to take all the stuff I learned and make it into an interesting narrative? How do I tell the story of trees? As I researched for this podcast, I realized that there's more to trees in Tallahassee than just lists of facts. While there is a story hidden in the numbers, and if you're interested in that story, I highly recommend skimming through the Urban Forest Master Plan, the story that's better suited for listening is the one told by those surveys I mentioned. The identity and culture of Tallahassee and its citizens is defined by its trees. There's even a song called Old Bainbridge Road, all about a historic canopy road in Tallahassee, written and performed by Rob Romans, which you can check out on YouTube. There's also a restaurant called the Canopy Road Cafe with several locations across the city. Tallahassee's residents have deep connections to trees. The story of trees in Tallahassee is the story of their interactions with people. So I found some. The trees weren't very talkative, so this podcast consists of my conversations with some very interesting, tree-focused people. This intro episode is the most you're going to have to hear me talk. For the most part, I'm going to sit back and let my guests share their experiences, because they know more about trees in Tallahassee than I do. Some of my interviewees have a career's worth of tree knowledge. You're going to hear from a county forester, the owner of a tree service company, and a university arborist. But not everyone I talked to was a tree professional. I also talked to a community tree activist, a university student who became a tree influencer, two university art faculty, and a studio artist working with mixed technological mediums. The people of Tallahassee are as varied as the city's urban forest. I hope you enjoy learning from them as much as I did. Before we get started, I have a few disclaimers. Not everything said in this podcast, either by me or my guests, necessarily reflects the views of the Sunshine State Biodiversity Group. Similarly, my guests came on the show in their capacity as private citizens. They do not necessarily represent the views of the institutions by whom they are employed. Now that we've got all that out of the way, let's talk about some trees. I hope you enjoy the podcast. If you do, consider checking out some of the Sunshine State Biodiversity Group's other projects and initiatives at sunshinestatebiodiversitygroup.com. Welcome to Tallahassee Tree Talks. Thank you for tuning in to Tallahassee Tree Talks. Special thanks goes to Dr. Allison Sperling, Jeff and Ann Vandermeer, Dr. Andy Opel, and to all the incredible individuals who agreed to be interviewed for this podcast.